Today's Bible reading is from Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. It's a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness. It relates to comfort and assurance in God's presence. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me.
Now, one of my favorite shows is Monk, and because of that, I think this light went out. And if you've ever watched Monk, you would know that he'd spend the entire time just looking at that and needing to go light it. So for those of you who are in that place, I just wanted to rescue you. And this prayer. Holy God, startle us with the amazing truth that your love, our worth, isn't a place we need to arrive at. It's the road we travel on. Amen. Well, I have some good news. Apparently, laughter helps you lose weight. We all probably know that laughter makes you healthier. I mean, Norman Cousins, his fantastic book, Anatomy of an Illness, he used to laugh, belly laugh, at least 15 minutes a day. He loved the Three Stooges. So he would watch Three Stooges forever. And his goal would be to belly laugh. He had a chronic, very, very painful illness. But he found that if he belly laughed at least 15 minutes a day, it would give him 2 hours of pain-free sleep a night. Isn't that amazing? You know, that our mind, our body, our spirit are really interconnected in a marvelously, wonderfully mysterious way. So in the spirit of that, one person said, you know, apparently the signs of stress are that you eat too much, that you smoke too much, that you impulse buy, and that you drive too fast. For me, that's a great day. Another person, I think it was Winston Churchill, said, you know, whenever I have the thought to exercise, I find all I need to do is lie down, and that thought just goes away. Or one woman shared with me, you know, the slogan, no pain, no gain. I actually prefer no pain, no pain. And what were some others? Oh, people keep talking about getting into shape. I'm in shape, it just happens to be round. One of my favorites is this minister. There's a sign, this, you know, the bloopers in the church bulletin. There was a sign that said, due to the minister's illness, healing services on Wednesday nights will be canceled from here on. I'm feeling incredibly uncomfortable. And why I'm feeling incredibly uncomfortable is because I'm breaking the cardinal rule of preaching. My preaching professors would tell me adamantly, never use yourself as an example. So I'm feeling kind of uncomfortable because I want to share a journey that I've been on, and I want to share that journey because so many of you have asked me about it. So I thought I would take this opportunity. No, I'll tell you the truth. You know why this happened? Is because I just can't figure out one week to the next. And I thought the last message series flowed into Lent. And then I looked at my calendar, and there was this Sunday that, so what do I talk about? So many of you have asked me about my weight loss. I have lost about 40 pounds in the last 6 months. And so I want to share a little bit about that journey, not to lift myself up as an example, because I haven't arrived anywhere. I'm on a journey, and I don't know where this journey is going, and I take the journey every day. But I've discovered some interesting things about myself. I've discovered some interesting things about my faith along the way that I'd like to share. Because I, probably like you, like the psalmist, I am just simply a child of God, broken, in need, whose soul thirsts for God, hungers for wholeness, thirsts for peace, hungers to know that I am loved and worthy. And what's interesting in that the passage we read, or the passage Spencer read for us, where the psalmist says, my soul thirsts for God. The Hebrew there, the Hebrew Bible was obviously written in Hebrew, and the word for soul is actually nephesh. And the actual translation, the most accurate translation, isn't soul. It's the whole of my life, the whole of my being. Body, mind, spirit thirsts for God, thirsts for wholeness, thirsts for healing, thirsts to be well. All of me, not just the spirit part of me, all of me hungers, thirsts for God. I think that is such an important critical distinction, because I think one of the worst things that happen to our health and well-being is Greek dualistic thinking that got introduced into our theology, that says spirit good, sacred, body bad, profane, and separate. That is not at all what that scripture says. That scripture says the whole of you desires God, desires wholeness, desires healing. That is such an important thing. Can you imagine that? Your body, not just your head, not just your spirit, your body hungers for God, hungers to be whole, and it's all of one. I think that's such a critical thing, because when we separated our body from our spirit, and if the body is separate somehow over there, and the body is bad, well, then it's easy actually to treat that body poorly. It's easy to denigrate that body. It's easy to abuse that body, to neglect that body. What happens when we put it together and realize that mind, body, spirit, they're one, connected? That's not a new thought, by the way. That's not some new age idea. That was how the psalmist saw the world. So part of my journey has been about approaching this as a spiritual practice. You know, not as, let's get into shape, Stephen. That was there. But a spiritual practice to honor the gift of my whole self. So I began with a 28-day doctor-approved cleanse. And why I began with a 28-day doctor-approved cleanse was, to me, it was that idea of a fast. How many of you are giving up something for Lent? Well, I'm preaching to the choir today. This is good. Have you thought about giving up something for Lent? Let me suggest. How many of you in your past have given up chocolate? So many of us have given up chocolate. You ever wonder why? You know, why am I giving up chocolate? Other than somebody says that I should give up chocolate. I think sometimes the practice of Lent, what's really interesting is we forget that we practice giving up something, if we do that, that we might become closer to God. That we might ask the question, well, I really crave chocolate right now. Well, do I crave chocolate? Or do I hunger and thirst for something more fulfilling than chocolate? I mean, that's why we do it, is just to be more conscious, to be more aware of what's going on with ourselves. As I've been asking in the past message series, that important question, what's going on within me? I mean, that's why we give up something for Lent, is to realize, actually, well, there may be, maybe I long for something deeper, as the psalmist says. You know, I long, I desire. We live in a society that doesn't like longing very much. I mean, we live in this, satisfy me now, immediate gratification society. Feed me now. I don't like to long. I'm not comfortable there. So I need to buy it. I need to eat it now. Well, even something like a headache. What happens when we have a headache? What do? You take a pain reliever, right? By the way, I highly recommend that. But do we ever ask, why do I have a headache? Do we ever use the experience leading us to something deeper? Well, maybe I have a headache because my shoulders are up to my ears. Well, why are my shoulders up to my ears? Well, maybe there's something I have not wanted to deal with inside. But as long as I take the pain reliever, no longer have the headache, I don't have to think about that which I don't want to think about. So part of my approach with the 28-day cleanse, it was called a detox. Yes, I wanted to detoxify myself. But part of it, too, I wanted to go on this spiritual path of longing. We're about to remember Jesus going into the wilderness for 40 days, where he hungered and thirsted, where he was hungry and thirsty. and that which was the embodiment of that which was evil came and said, I'll take that away from you. And Jesus said, no, it's important that I hunger and thirst. So I fasted. I fasted from caffeine, from sugar. By the way, let me be clearly, I'm not an expert. I'm not a fitness expert. I'm not a health expert. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a doctor. I'm just someone trying to walk a path towards wholeness, just like all of you. So I'm not giving advice here. A preacher just recently I read was sued because of the advice that he gave from the pulpit. So there is a disclaimer on the bottom of your bulletin. So I fasted from caffeine, from alcohol, from sugar, from dairy, from wheat. There might have been something else. Food. But it was one of the reasons I did that was, again, I became so acutely aware of my body and my spirit and my longing. One of the things physically for me, I became acutely aware of, I have significant arthritis, and wheat and dairy are not good friends of mine. Doesn't mean they won't be good friends of you, hear me clearly, but it was a profound, profound, profound difference when I removed wheat and dairy in terms of my joint pain. Fascinating. So I fasted, but then I approached it using three ancient spiritual practices. One being the practice of blessing. I woke up each day and I blessed myself. Not every day, most days. Blessed myself as a child of God. Blessed my body as a holy, sacred container of the indwelling presence of God. I blessed that thing that would carry the presence of God throughout the day. So often I struggle because so often we think the path to health is once I get there, then I will be okay. I believe it's the other way around. It's so counterintuitive. I think once we realize that we're okay, once we realize that we are acceptable, that we are loved, we'll have a much better chance of getting there, making the choices that will honor that which is okay in us. But we think we have to get there first. So I think one of the ancient practices is to bless yourself as a child of God. You are enough. You are enough. Do you realize the average American has 3,000 messages a day? 3,000 messages a day, whether it's television, billboards, radio, 3,000 on average messages a day telling you that you need this or need that in order to be okay. So it gives you some kind of advertisement that says you're not smart enough, you're not tall enough, you're not strong enough, you're not rich enough, you're not thin enough, you're not beautiful enough, you don't drive the right car. In other words, you need something else in order to be okay. 3,000 messages a day. The psalmist says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God took not heavenly matter, God took the stuff of the earth, the clay, created the human being in the image and likeness of, in the image and likeness of God, stood back and said, holy cow, this is good. God proclaimed upon you, not just part of you, not just your mind, not just your spirit, all of you, this is very good. You are enough. The scripture, the psalmist says, God's steadfast love, Spencer read, God's steadfast love is better than life itself. The word steadfast love there is the Hebrew word I can never get that right. Chesed, which simply means it's the word used by the Hebrews to describe the central attribute of God. And it means a love that's beyond description, an incomprehensible love. A love that says, you are worthy not in some future day, now. You are accepted now. You are loved now. Guys, this might make you uneasy. You are beautiful. Now. So to me, the pathway was to bless myself. Did I believe that every day? No. Do I believe that every day now? No. That's why they call it a spiritual practice. To live into that truth. Another key part of me, another spiritual practice that was key to this path, is forgiveness. There is no doubt when we hold our emotions in, it makes us sick, right? And there is no doubt sometimes, at least for me, I've shared many times that I'm a stress eater, that oftentimes I don't even feel those emotions because I'm too busy numbing myself and medicating myself by food, which is also what that fast helped me to really be acutely aware of, is how much I just needed to have food because I didn't want to feel the feelings. Well, one of the feelings, this was this song that this was kind of funny because I love to run. I love to run. Running for me was prayer. I'd pray every day as I ran. And as I ran, I would feel my body and my mind and my spirit. And my mantra, I would say, grace, peace, flow. Grace, peace, flow. And running was the time that I experienced more than anything else the present. I didn't live in the past. I didn't live in the future. I was just present. I heard the birds. I saw the trees. I felt my heart. I loved to run. On my 40th birthday, I was training for another marathon, and I had this pain that wouldn't go away. It was here and here, and it just wouldn't go away. I tried acupuncture, chiropractor, massage. It wouldn't. Somebody said, go to an orthopedic surgeon, get a cortisone shot. It's like, okay. So I went to the orthopedic surgeon. I was on my birthday, my 40th birthday, when I went from a promising young man to a man who just promises. And the orthopedic surgeon came out after taking the x-rays and said, you have no cartilage. You're bone on bone in four places. I can't even believe you're running at all. And by the way, you won't be running anymore. You have a hip replacement in your future. I was so mad. And that anger turned into grief. Because this was not the image I had of my life. I was going to be the 90-year-old guy still running marathons. That's who I was. Not a guy who can't run anymore and has a hip replacement. I was so full of grief. But I didn't want to feel those feelings. So I ate. And in 7 years, this was 7 years ago, I gained 40 pounds, 45 pounds. Because I ate those feelings away. What I needed to realize on this path is I needed to forgive myself. Do you know what I really needed to forgive? I needed to forgive my body. Because doggone it, my body let me down. My body really let me down. And I needed to forgive God because I was pretty mad at God because this was not my path. Jürgen Moltmann, a theologian, says health, we need to realize, is far more of an attitude than anything else. And it's about adaptability. It's about accepting your limitations and your frailties and your fragility and choosing to affirm and celebrate life in spite of those limitations. Grief often gets us stuck in the past. And what I needed to do was release that. And now I have two artificial hips. And that's okay. I'm okay. I can't run in the way I did before, but is my orthopedic surgeon here? But I'm running again. Very slowly, but I'm trying to experience that feeling. Forgiveness. It's accepting who we are, where we are. It's maybe releasing ourselves to be where we are, accepting that new reality. One of the most significant transitions in the process of grief, whatever grief you're in, is accepting the new reality. Life is no longer what it was, or maybe what you thought it would be. It is. And it can still be good. It maybe is not what you thought it was going to be, but it can still be good. And you can choose. The last thing, the last spiritual exercise that was really important to this journey for me was gratitude. I encourage you to do a couple things. One is to keep a gratitude journal. And second, if you don't already do it, say grace at every meal and with every snack. A grateful heart, you've heard it before, is a peaceful heart, is a loving heart, is a healthy heart, leads to a healthy body. Gratitude. You know, we focus so much on what's wrong, on the flaws. What if we trained ourselves to look for what's right and what's good? The psalmist says, there is no place where you can go where God is not. What that means is there's no place you can go where there's not already beauty and goodness, including yourself, all of yourself. Here's what I'd like us to do for Lent. Give up criticizing. Give it up. Give up looking for flaws in other people. I mean, I was at the grocery store, and there was a magazine. In the magazine, there's an amazing-looking human being. Amazing. But the magazine pointed out just a little flab in the belly and some cellulite. Are you kidding me? And one of the things I think we need to realize is we are judgmental towards others, mostly because we are so critical of ourselves, and we just project that outwards. So maybe in giving up, being really disciplined to give up criticism of others, is to treat yourself a little differently. Make a list today, sometime today, of 10 things you love about your body. If the only thing you can come up with is the fact that you can breathe, start there. But celebrate that. You know, gratitude changes your heart, changes your spirit, which changes your whole being. And grace at every meal, so important because we eat so mindlessly. What would happen if we just stopped? Grace is really the appreciation of an unearned, undeserved gift. If we stopped and just said thank you. Thank you for this food. Thank you for the person who prepared it. Thank you for the way in which it was grown. I'm mindful of those who have no food. And taking our time, I'm thankful for the people that maybe I'm with, and if I'm by myself, I'm grateful for the people who've been in my life. So let me finish. You know, I've learned a lesson that I need to script things because I go on too long if I don't. There's an ancient Jewish legend that says there's an angel that walks before you. And that angel calls out, "Behold, a child in the image and likeness of God." Can you imagine that? Naomi Tutu yesterday said that's how we should view others, is that there is an angel before them saying, "Behold, a child in the image and likeness of God." Now, we are all made in the image of God. We don't always act in the likeness of God. But imagine if how you may treat yourself differently. If you blessed yourself, blessed this holy container, as Paul says in the first chapter of Corinthians, says our body is a sacred temple that carries the indwelling presence of God. If you blessed yourself, blessed this holy temple that carries God's presence into your day. Behold, a child of God in the image of God and the likeness of God. And just live into that truth. Walk into that truth. It's not about getting there. If we realize that we already have that which we so deeply long for, it'll change the road we walk. May it be so. Let's give thanks to God through the offering.